Perfection or excellence? What does God expect of me? We have just celebrated Mother's Day and will soon be celebrating Father's Day. We all have different memories of our parents. As for me, when I was growing up, I remembered that my parents would often show me their love through material things. But in return, they always had demands and expectations of me. Do your chores, go to school, go to college, get a job, save money, and much, much more. As I moved on in life, expectations from others added more to the pressures of life. Be on time. Work hard. Work until you get it done. And now, having been a parent myself, I not only am the recipient of expectations, but I am also the giver of demands. Be on time. Do your chores. Be nice to your siblings. Respect others. Study hard. Take out the trash. Get off your phone. And much, much more. These expectations all have this in common. Someone is holding us accountable, and we are responding, either positively or negatively, wholeheartedly or grudgingly. In other words, when someone is expecting us to do something, we make the choice of how we want to respond. Could anyone relate to this? Let's turn to Colossians 3:17 so that we could begin to understand God's perspective on this. In Colossians 3:17, it says this, "And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." By the phrase, whatever you do, Paul is saying, whatever you make, produce, acquire, say, put forth, carry out, perform, commit to, do these things to glorify God. What? You mean I have to do everything wholeheartedly, even if I don't want to? Or I don't like the person who is telling me to do something? The answer is yes. Slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything. And do it, not only when their eye is on you and to curry their favor, but with sincerity of heart and reverence for the Lord. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. Anyone who does wrong will be repaid for their wrongs, and there is no favoritism. I like how the Message paraphrases these same verses. Servants, do what you are told by your earthly masters, and don't just do the minimum that will get you by. Do your best. Work from the heart for your real master, for God, confident that you'll get paid in full when you come into your inheritance. Keep in mind always that the ultimate master you're serving is Christ. The sullen servant who does shoddy work will be held responsible. Being a follower of Jesus doesn't cover up bad work. When we accept Christ into our hearts, we are no longer slaves or servants to Satan, but have been bought and redeemed by the blood of Christ to become his servants. However, as long as we are on this earth, we will still deal with people, many of whom tell us what to do and expect us to follow through. We all struggle in this area because of fear, pride, and our desire to be perfect. That's right, some of us have a tendency to always want to be perfect, and as a result, it hinders our ability to be excellent for God. Let's look at Colossians chapter 3, verse 22 again. Slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything, and do it, not only when their eye is on you and to curry their favor, but with sincerity of heart and reverence for the Lord. When we serve others, we can do it for the wrong reasons. We may try to impress that person and make ourselves look good, but only when that person is there. We are only given eye service or external service. We work harder when we are being watched and work less when we're not being watched. Or we may just be trying to gain the favor or approval of others. By curry their favor, Paul is saying that we are striving to please or to accommodate oneself to the opinions, desires, interests of others. We have seen those people at work, or maybe have been those people, always wanting to be looked upon as the best, to get promoted, or to one-up the people around them. These two motivations fall under the category of striving for perfection. Always wanting to look good, do good, and feel good. The root cause of perfectionism is not God, but from pride and fear, as perfectionism is a close relative to self-centeredness. How do I know if I'm held captive by perfectionism? By definition, perfectionism is a personal standard, attitude, or philosophy that demands perfection and rejects anything less. According to Alan Malinger in Too Perfect, When Being in Control Gets Out of Control, the perfectionist credo is, 1. If I always try my best and I'm alert and sharp enough, I can avoid error, everyday blunders, oversights, and poor decisions or choices. 2. I must never make mistakes because they would show that I'm not as competent as I should be. 3. By being perfect, I can assure my own security with others. They will admire me and will have no reason to criticize or reject me. 4. My worth depends on how good I am, how smart I am, and how well I perform. Do you ever have such thoughts and feel that anything less than perfect is not good enough? But think about this. If we were perfect and could achieve perfection, why would we need God? Rather, we need to boast in our weakness as Paul describes in 2 Corinthians 12, verses 9 and 10. He says this, "But he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong.'" It is real easy to serve others when they are pleased with us, appreciate us, and admire our efforts. It is much harder to serve those who weaken us, insult us, make life difficult for us, or persecute us. And yet, it is in those times that Christ's power is made perfect in us. Let's go back to Colossians 3:22 again. "Slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything, and do it not only when their eye is on you and to curry their favor, but with sincerity of heart and reverence for the Lord." You see, God does not want us to serve others for external or selfish reasons, but he wants us to serve others with sincere hearts, which means singleness, simplicity, sincerity, and mental honesty, and with reverential fear of him. This is what it means to show excellence, the definition being the quality of being outstanding or extremely good, as compared to being, compared to showing perfection. This is what it means to show excellence as compared to perfectionism. By definition, excellence is the quality of being outstanding or extremely good. In excellence, the focus is not on us or how we benefit from what we do, but on God and pleasing Him. Mark Wynn, in his February 27, 2013 blog called Perfectionism versus Excellence, stated that the difference between the two. Perfectionism is focused on doing the thing right, how things appear, and if others think it's done right. Excellence is about doing the right thing. It is focused on the reason for a task and the results for it to be a success. The difference between these two often comes down to how we handle mistakes. How well do we handle mistakes in ourselves? How well do we handle mistakes in others? Are we afraid to make mistakes or take risks because of fear of failure or being judged by others? This is often where we can see if we are in perfectionism bondage. God is not concerned about how perfect we are or how perfect we do things. That is why he sent Jesus to be the perfect sacrifice for us. He is, however, pleased when we do the right things for the right reasons. We see in verses 23 and 24 how our actions and attitudes should be in pursuing excellence. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for human masters. Since you know you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward, it is the Lord Christ you are serving. Paul elaborates further on this in Ephesians 6, 5 through 9. "Slaves, obey your earthly masters with respect and fear, and with sincerity of heart, just as you would obey Christ. Obey them not only to win their favor when their eye is on you, but as slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from your heart. Serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not people, because you know that the Lord will reward each one of for whatever good they do, whether they are slave or free. And masters, treat your slaves in the same way. Do not threaten them, since you know that he who is both their master and yours is in heaven, and there is no favoritism with him. God directs us not only how to deal with people who are over us, but also how to deal with people who we may lead, supervise, or parent. In fact, both passages in Colossians and Ephesians are preceded by admonitions on how to deal with family members and how to serve them in such a way that is pleasing to God. We do not get any special treatment or privileges because we are Christians. In fact, we are to treat others in a more excellent manner than the world does, so that they may see the unconditional love of God and turn to Him also. What steps can we take so that we can pursue excellence instead of striving for perfection? 1. Seek God daily in His Word and prayer to find His expectations for us. 2. Serve everyone wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord. 3. Ask God to give you guidance, strength, and endurance in dealing with difficult people and circumstances. 4. Replace fear and pride with courage and humbleness. 5. View mistakes and failures as opportunities to grow in maturity and in our relationship with God. 6. Do everything with a whole heart, mind, soul, and strength, but leave the results to God. In other words, rest in His grace and mercy. And finally, I wanted to share an excerpt from Jesus' Calling devotional for May 14th. I am a mighty God. Nothing is too difficult for me. I have chosen to use weak ones like you to accomplish my purposes. Your weakness is designed to open you up to my power. Therefore, do not fear your limitations or measure the day's demands against your strength. What I require of you is to stay connected to me, living in trust and dependence on my limitless resources. When you face unexpected demands, there's no need to panic. Remember that I am with you. Talk with me and listen while I talk you through each challenging situation. I am not a careless God. When I allow difficulties to come into your life, I equip you fully to handle them. Relax in my presence, trusting in my strength, for nothing is impossible with God. Luke 1:37. The Lord Himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Deuteronomy 31:8. But He said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses." Let's get free from the bondage of perfectionism and move forward in our pursuit of godly excellence. You'll be less frustrated, less stressed, and you'll begin to enjoy your projects and flourish where God has placed you. This is evident in Colossians chapter 3, verses 22 to 25. Colossians 3:22-25 says this: